Lenten season, we have been focusing upon Psalm 41, written by David many years before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, Psalm 41 also speaks of Jesus. Remember, Jesus once said, "All of the scriptures and the Psalms testify to me." And so the prophetic words of Psalm 41 do then apply to Jesus himself. And so the prophetic words of Psalm 41 that we have for tonight is verse 10, which reads this way. "But you, O Lord, be gracious unto me, and raise me up, that I may repay them." Let us recap a little bit about what we have talked about and meditated on this particular Lenten season. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed, even those who had been oppressed and possessed by a demon. And this fulfilled Jesus' words from Psalm 41 that says, "Blessed is the one who considers the poor." Jesus was welcomed by Galilean crowds, but not by the Jerusalem leaders, and thus fulfilled those words from Psalm 41. "My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? And also they imagine no mercy for me." And Psalm 41 can also see the betrayer, namely Judas of Iscariot. For our Lord quoted that psalm on the night that he was betrayed, "Even my close friend whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." In the third chapter of St. John, we hear Jesus saying, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Those words speak of Jesus' death on the cross. For in the same way that the bronze serpent was lifted up by Moses in the wilderness for the healing of the rebellious people when they were bitten by those snakes, Jesus was lifted up on a cross for the healing of all nations, as we read in the book of Revelation. In the 8th chapter of John, we read, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he." And this lifting up fulfilled the words of the prophet Isaiah we heard from tonight, when Isaiah wrote, "He shall be high and lifted up. His appearance was so marred beyond human sense, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations." Crucifixion was a very cruel punishment and a very cruel way to die. There are those who say it was probably the most excruciating way of exerting death on a person ever devised by mankind. In fact, we get our English word excruciating from our English word crucifixion. Crucifixion was usually reserved for slaves, criminals, revolutionaries. And Jesus was convicted of being somewhat of a revolutionary, especially after Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus' answer was, "Yes, it is as you say." And then emphasized by the high priest, who said to Pilate, "You are a friend of Caesar. You will not let this man go." And we also take note of the fact that Jesus was crucified between two thieves. Crucifixion was not only a terrible way to die, but it was also intended to bring shame on the one who was convicted. We also read in other places that the Roman guards who attended the crucifixion site could not leave that site until all the victims had died. And so they would sometimes And it also said that they would build smoldering fires at the foot of the cross, so that as the fumes would rise, the victim had to breathe, it would bring on asphyxiation quicker. John tells us that the guards broke the legs of the two thieves. When they got to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, and so they did not break his legs. And John also tells us that this was done so that the scripture would be fulfilled, that not one of his bones would be broken. The guards did, however, pierce Jesus' side with a spear, not his heart, but his side. John says blood and water flowed forth. And that too indicated that Jesus was already dead. For we can read in some medical reports that when a person has been dead long enough, the blood cells, the red blood cells of the blood, and the water separate. The water that's in the blood separates. And so when this happened, and John reports that blood and water did flow from Jesus' side, this was an indication Jesus was already dead. The Spirit did not cause his death. It revealed his death. So what happened then when Jesus was lifted up on the cross? John explains in chapter 12, when I am lifted up, will draw all people unto myself. And so he was speaking about his death for the sins of the world. For what purpose was Jesus lifted up according to this psalm? Here the psalmist again, that I may repay them. But repay whom? And this is the amazing thing. Jesus wanted to be raised up on his cross in order to repay those who plotted against him, who thought of that evil that was against him, to repay those who spoke evil concerning him, to repay those who imagined the worst for him, and who said, as the psalmist said in malice, when will he die and his name perish from the earth? You see, the Lord our God has worked his vengeance against his enemies in a way that is totally unlike all the ways that we humans like to work our vengeance. For like the kings of the earth, you and I would use revenge against those who have wronged us. So some people would say, the sweet taste of revenge. But that's not the way our world works. Where we humans prefer to work things out and work out vengeance and acts against others, the Lord of hosts preferred to execute judgment against his Son. Our God was so intent about cleansing the sins of the entire earth, so preoccupied with our salvation, that even the vengeance he fought against his enemies was self-inflicted. But you, O Lord, raise me up that I may repay them. And in answer to that prayer, God the Father lifted up his Son unto death, as all righteous living Christians, even death on a cross. The death of our Lord was indeed divine vengeance over every enemy, including death itself. The death of Jesus our God was therefore not the triumph of his enemies that they had hoped for, like Caiaphas the high priest and other Jewish leaders who intended this to be really the end of Jesus. And remember when the soldiers at the cross experienced that earthquake and saw everything that took place there, they were filled with awe, scripture says, and the centurion, the Roman centurion, the non-Jewish centurion, said, surely this was the Son of God. And in keeping with David's prophecy in Psalm 41, by this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me. It seems at first, at least, that the enemies of God rejoiced at the sight of Jesus' death, but only temporary, only momentary, for permanent victory would come by the power of Christ's resurrection. And so we must be exceedingly careful and faithful when we think of our enemies. For when Jesus died, all vengeance was worked by God upon the cross. And that's why our Heavenly Father forbids us to seek vengeance. Our acts of revenge are nothing less than the denials of Jesus and his death. We remember you and I were joined to the death of Christ in our baptism. Paul writes to the Galatian Christians, I have been crucified with Christ. And famously, the words we remember the most that he wrote to the Roman Christians, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And thus, because Psalm 41 speaks about Jesus, it speaks about us too. And therefore, these words are our words. But you, O Lord, be gracious unto me, and raise me up that I may repay them. What do these words mean when you and I pray them? They do mean that we, along with Jesus, have already been raised up on the cross. And we, like Jesus, already have our righteousness and our injustices avenged in his blood, in the death of Christ. All vengeance has been worked by God, so that if we seek revenge on our enemies, our desire for revenge becomes a denial of the cross, the rejection of Jesus' atonement, and what he did. That's why God says, we read it in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy. Paul quotes it in his letter to the Roman Christians. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And Paul also writes in the first letter he writes to the Thessalonian Christians, the Lord is the avenger of all these things. So shall the Lord our God work vengeance for us on the last day when Jesus our Lord returns to this earth to judge both the living and the dead? Yes. Amen. Absolutely. So that's why there are Christian martyrs who even now would plead with God for his victorious return, that he might avenge their blood. And remember, God reveals to St. John in the revelation he gives to him, the devil who deceived them will be thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet have been thrown. There they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. We do not need to think of our Lord's vengeance on the last day as something that's separate from the cross. For the last day, the day of his return, is the culmination and it is the fulfillment of that which was completely worked out for us on the cross. The blood of God's saints, God's people, will be avenged, revealed to us in Revelation. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne. They fell down on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And this is because Jesus was raised up on the cross to work God's vengeance on his enemies. The death of God's saints, we are told by the psalmist, is precious in his sight. we have even perpetrated, finds its fulfillment in the words of our psalm verse tonight. O Lord, be gracious unto me, and raise me up that I may repay them. That's the prophecy of Jesus fulfilled. And as the writer to the Hebrews reminded us tonight in the epistle lesson, since we have a high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess and approach the throne of God with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So, trusting in his promise, we can look forward to the day when Jesus returns triumphantly to call us to join his faithful, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in our hands and crying out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That is to rejoice as he calls us be a part of that throng. And it brings reality and will bring